And welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Nick McNamara here for the final day of the week, the weekdays, I guess, filling in for Brandon Peoples. Coming up later in the show, as a programming note, we'll have some folks talking about an archery tournament at Fort Riley, the second annual 3D archery tournament over there. To close off the show, we'll recap a little bit from our earlier conversation with Vivian Uccello about the latest COVID-19 information in Riley County. But first, we're going to start off the show with Dr. Bob Larson of the College of Veterinary Medicine. Bob, thanks for calling in.
Hey, you bet. Good to talk to you today.
Of course. And we're going to start off the show. Your specialty is more in the beef side of things and cattle. So we're going to start off the show talking sort of some summer issues for cattle. You know, that's heat and that's bugs. And, you know, for humans, that's kind of an issue too. But it affects cows in a bit of a different way. And I guess we could start off talking a little bit about some of the flies that cattle have to deal with as we enter the summer months.
Yeah, as we get into late summer, certainly a time when sometimes the fly populations are getting large and bothering the cattle even more. Several different types of flies that can bother cattle. You know, to us as humans, I mean, they all look like flies. But there are flies that are a big problem for cattle that are out grazing grass, and that is horn flies. And they're pretty small in size, but there can be hundreds of them on cattle, and those hundreds of animals taking blood meals. So basically they use their mouth parts to pierce the skin, and that is painful and it annoys the cattle. And if there's, you know, a relatively small number of flies on cattle, they can handle that pretty well. But when you get into really high populations, over several hundred, you know, the cattle really don't graze as much and spend more time fighting the flies, switching their tails, just being annoyed. And so that's a real problem, and so it's important for cattle producers to try to get those fly numbers down.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned horn flies, but there's numerous types of flies in the area that, as you put it, annoy cows. How common is this? I imagine a lot of the cattle farmers out there are familiar with this experience and dealing with these types of pests, but how common is it that farmers are going to have to deal with, you know, batting off these flies, finding a way to combat them and make sure their cows are doing all right?
Yeah, it's really something that cattle producers have to deal with every summer. Some summers are a little bit worse than others, depending on, you know, how dry it gets, which is actually kind of hard on the fly populations. And time of year, you know, we have kind of ebbs and flows in the population of flies. And as we get into this kind of August time frame, it's a time when a lot of times the population is building, both for those horn flies that I talked about, as well as face flies. Face flies are a lot bigger fly. They're kind of the size of a house fly. And as their name implies, they spend their time around the face. And there's usually not very many, you know, a dozen or so flies, face flies, versus the hundreds that I was talking about with horn flies. But they really like the tears around the animal's eyes, so they'll go from one animal to the next, and they can pass a disease called pink eye from one animal to the next and cause a lot of irritation to the eyes. So different types of flies, and honestly, sometimes some different types of controls. So cattle producers use insecticide dust bags or sprays to try to beat those populations down to a manageable level. And so, again, a lot of times as those populations increase this time of year, some additional pesticide applications or other ways of controlling those flies become really important as we get into the late summer months.
And we mentioned a couple different types of flies. Regarding the horn flies, you said there'd be hundreds of them. Just intuitively, that makes me think that those are kind of a bigger pest. But is there one breed of fly that tends to hound the cattle a lot more than another?
Yes, and some of it depends a little bit on where the cattle are located and what they're eating. These horn flies, actually, they lay their eggs in the manure patch or the feces of the cattle, and they like a nice, fresh, grass-digested manure patch. And so they will go and lay their eggs there. And those same flies do not like the manure from a grain-fed animal. And so they prefer, you know, certain types of manure to lay their eggs in. And so horn flies are a much bigger problem in pasture cattle And another fly called a stable fly is a much bigger problem in cattle that are in a dry lot eating grain.
And I believe we do have a caller on the line. Robert from Manhattan, go ahead. You're on air.
Yes, when we had the cattle, I used those fly parasites to take care of the pink eye. We were at pastures in amongst three non-grade A dairies that did not have fly suppression, and the flies were just horrible. And the fly parasites really took care of it. My uncles, the ranchers, came in, and they couldn't believe that the cattle weren't even swishing their tails. So about every other year here in town, I go around and put out the fly parasites to keep the flies out of Manhattan. Thank you so much for your reminding me of what's going on.
And thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
And that's good. Those parasites, they're called parasitic wasps. They don't really look like wasps. They look like a small fly. And they'll eat the eggs or the pupa that are hatching. And they work really well for those stable flies that I was mentioning. And so you'll see a lot of dairies and feedlots and places where they're feeding cattle grain that they'll use those parasitic wasps or fly parasites. And those are a nice natural control mechanism. They don't work as well for the horn flies. And again, different types of flies and different types of control methods. So yeah, that's one that's very interesting because you're basically using one fly to kill another fly.
Yeah, that is an interesting. I've never heard of that phenomenon before. Do these types of wasps, are they much of a pest for humans at all, or are they real devoted to those flies?
Now, you know, and probably wasp is a bad name for them because nobody thinks of a wasp in a positive standpoint. And to me, I'm not an entomologist. They don't really look like a wasp. They look like a fly, and they do not. They don't sting people. They're not harmful to humans. So they're basically just going to attack their fellow fly parasites.
Talking with Bob Larson from the K-State College of Veterinary Medicine. And as we talked a little earlier, these flies can pass on diseases. They do act as a vector. You know, for humans, we often think about mosquitoes, but you mentioned pink eye. What are some other ailments that these flies can end up causing, aside from just annoying the cows? What else can they do to harm cows?
Well, one of the things we see with really high loads of the horn flies is we actually can see some other infections so that they will, you know, the flies will irritate the tender skin around the udders and cause some summer mastitis problems and things like that. Other parasites such as ticks are really important because they take larger blood meals to some of the bloodborne diseases, and one of them is anaplasmosis, which can affect cattle. So between flies and other biting insects and ticks, yeah, we do worry about them moving diseases from one animal to the next. And part of the reason that trying to keep those numbers down to very manageable levels is important.
And as you mentioned, certain types of flies like different types of manure, some especially grass-fed manure in some cases. And I imagine that'll pose some trouble in managing these swarms in some ways. How do you go about managing these flies once you start to notice that they're taking root, or is there anything you can do preventative-wise before you even start to see them?
Well, there's a number of things that people do. One is we do have some pretty good chemical controls that can be applied and usually daily, or, you know, so animals that can kind of go under a duster that puts a little bit of the dust on them that will keep the flies away, or occasionally ear tags that are impregnated with the pesticides that keep the flies away. So just different ways of trying to deliver a chemical repellent. And as I mentioned before, and the caller, you know, talked about those parasitic wasps, which is a good control for some types of flies. And some people will drag their pastures, meaning that they will use a tractor and carry, pull a piece of equipment that's going to break up those manure packs. And so before the parasites have a chance to hatch, if you break up the manure packs and expose them to sunlight and drying heat, then they won't survive. And so there's both chemical and non-chemical methods of control, and most cattle producers are going to use, you know, whatever they can. So more than one step to try to kind of control the amount of parasites on their animals.
You know, I can imagine that depending on the year and the conditions of that year, there can be some real nightmare scenarios of just constant hounding with these pests. Have you seen any real bad situations of just, you know, just seeing swarm after swarm and seemingly not having anything work? Or are you usually able to sort of stem the issue once it's caught on, whether it's early or late in the process?
Well, there's certainly some years and situations that are more challenging than others. And I think it just has to do with, you know, if you get the ideal environment for the fly population in a certain area in a certain year, you can certainly get much bigger populations and much bigger problems. And sometimes, you know, to be honest, it can be quite frustrating. These flies they're tough and they can be difficult to control. In most situations, however, with, you know, kind of getting some of our chemical insecticides appropriately applied, will really bring those populations down. And then a lot of times we will use other non-chemical ways to try to, you know, separate the cattle from the highest population. So although it can be a challenge at times, usually you can successfully get those numbers down to where, again, we're not aiming for zero flies. We're just trying to get down to a population that the cow can really manage. And so, yeah, it can be a real challenge, but usually there's tools that we have that can really help us.
For someone just stepping into cattle rearing or maybe a student learning about the industry in general, if they want to learn more about this, where do you recommend they go get some resources?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there's a lot of really good publications coming out of Extension. So if you go to Kansas State beef.org, KSU beef.org site, there's a number of publications that look at lots of information about raising cattle, including controlling flies and other parasites. So that's a good place to start. Your local county extension office is another place where you can get some really good up-to-date research and information on a lot of topics that might be of interest.
Very good. And I think it's time for our first break of the morning. We'll continue with more conversation with Bob Larson from K-State's College of Vet Med coming up shortly here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.